What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of Junior NBA Coach's Corner. Today, we're discussing an interesting topic, managing negativity within the team. We're joined by AU coach of the All-Ohio Express, Kelly Peek, and former Celtics, Pacers, and 76ers head coach, Jim O'Brien.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Junior NBA Coach's Corner alongside the one and only Monica McNutt. I'm Dallin Cuff. Mon, interesting topic, managing negativity within the team. In your playing days, did you play on a team that had a negative environment you guys were trying to battle through? Do you have any memories of that?
Yes. It's a little salacious of a story, so we're going to skip that part, but just know.
Let's take that offline, though. I really want to hear about that part.
So I'm actually really excited to get into this because we've talked about this, Dallin. I was a captain on a squad, not given a ton of tools in terms of navigating the captain. It was just go fix it. And this particular summer leading into my senior year, we had lots of negativity that wasn't all necessarily basketball related.
a little drama in the locker room. My freshman year in college at Columbia, we were horrific. We were 2-25 and it was so painful, and it was a case study in how to lose a locker room, the negativity seeping in. And I learned a lot about team building, but also just in life, like how to function and things you want and characters you're surrounding yourself with and all these different things. So as painful as that was, I think I took a lot out of that really brutal year. So there's some interesting things you can learn from negativity, but we're going to talk about how to manage that, how to hopefully preclude your team from falling into those traps. We got two great guests. Our first guest played her college ball at Toledo and Wright State before injuries forced her to the sidelines, but she got a taste of coaching at her prep alma mater at Dayton Christian in Ohio. She's now coach of the All-Ohio Express, where her teams have featured several college prospects. Please welcome Kelly Peek. Kelly, great to have you here, Coach Kelly. And our other great guest, Jim O'Brien. He led the Boston Celtics to the playoffs twice. He has also served as head coach of the 76ers and Indiana Pacers and an assistant with the Dallas Mavericks. Most recently, he served as an assistant coach with the Philadelphia 76ers. Coach Jim O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us, Coach Kelly and Coach Jim O'Brien. Thank you, guys.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think you guys, you just heard our little banter off the top. I mean, Monica and I both had things as players where we were in some pretty negative environments. And I do want to start there because I think, as I mentioned, there's things that you can learn. So, Coach O'Brien, whether when you were a player or as a coach, are there teams that you couldn't kind of get them off of going off the deep end? They got to too much of a negative place, or the culture wasn't where you wanted it to be. And as you look back in that year, are the things you took away from that experience that may have been negative in the time that you learned as far as how to improve as a coach going forward?
Yeah, I don't think I really coached any teams that were too negative. And I think it's been, and we'll discuss this throughout the podcast and get everyone's viewpoint. But I learned at an early coaching age, steps that need to be taken in order to make sure that you keep your players on the same page and the coaching staff and the players on the same page. That doesn't mean that every day is a great day. It means that I never felt like I lost the locker room with negativity.
Coach Peek, anything you've had to go through as a player, as a coach that you've learned from some experiences may not have been that great as you were going through them?
I've not had negative teams per se, but I've had those players. And what I have learned in coaching for so long is that negativity comes from somewhere. It might not come from the basketball team. It might come from outside of the basketball team, but you have to get to the source. So, what I try to do is try to figure out with that player, what is the source of this negativity? If it's outside of basketball, then, in my experience is to help those young ladies find the tools and resources to deal with that so that they don't bring it into the team and into the locker room aspect. If it is within the basketball team, then let's get to the bottom of what is the source of that negativity. And let's conversate about that. I mean, it could be playing time. It could be the player's expectations versus, the coach's expectations. So we have to get to the root of that negativity. I've also learned that if you ignore the negativity, it will grow. It becomes a cancer. It's going to grow. So the biggest thing for me is to let's find that source of that negativity, whether it's inside basketball or outside of basketball, and then try to diffuse that before it starts to grow.
That's such sage wisdom, Coach Kelly. Now, just on a basic level, we all can relate to wins and losses, right? And although losses are great opportunities for us to learn about our teams, sometimes they do create a little bit of negative energy. Just on a base level, let's hypothetically, if you have a team that is experiencing a skid, Coach Kelly, particularly with young women, and you see it beginning to develop, you know, some negative energy around the team, how do you go about addressing that?
It's interesting because I'm in that situation right now. I actually have a young lady on my team she's a McDonald's All-American candidate. Everybody's recruiting her, but for some reason that team is, they're very strong, but they're losing games they shouldn't lose. And it's her energy. I don't know how to describe that. It's really her energy. And there was a situation that happened early in the season and the kids got through it and they're winning. But it's like managing, you know, her particular energy. And it's been a little rough for us. You know, this weekend, we had a rough weekend playing a top team. But what I'm trying to manage is again, what is the source of her energy? And you know what she said to me? I have so much pressure on me. And that was the source, is she feels that she has pressure. So I started talking to her. I said, yeah, you're going to probably play in the WNBA or play overseas. But is anyone asking you for money right now? Is anyone asking you to buy them a car? Is your mom asking you to pay the bills? There's nothing, no one's asking you to do anything but put the ball in the hoop, run up and down the floor, catch the ball. She's 6'6". So you don't have to do that much. There can't be that much pressure. So I started trying to diffuse her pressure and then give her tools to manage her own energy so that we turn, you know, that negativity into a positive situation. So we'll see here in the next week or so as we come back together and practice how that, disperses amongst the team.
That's such a great answer, Coach Kelly, because it is clearly in direct juxtaposition to Coach O'Brien what some of your experiences have been working with pro athletes, where they are responsible for real life things in addition to the goals that they're pursuing on the court. And so I imagine that a bad game or a skid has a different amount of pressure with those guys.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But continue to remind them that, move on to the next play. Like this past weekend, we wore these t-shirts that said next play. So next play, whether that means next play on the court, but it could be next play off the court, or just next play in life. Just next play. Let's just move on to the next play.
Coach O'Brien, I want to get how you dealt with, you know, grown-ups, adults that were dealing with other pressures in addition to trying to win basketball game.
Yeah, one of the things, and Coach Kelly hits on a particular problem that she's having, and we all experience, you know, some sort of negativity or somebody that wants to go rogue on the team. I thought the most important thing to do was, when I became a coach of any team, whether it was college or pros, before we ever walked onto the court, I had long meetings individually, one-on-one with each individual. And I basically asked them what was important to them, who are their influences, how they wanted to be coached, and really heard them out, but then told them very clearly how I was going to coach them, what my expectations of them were, and to find out if what I had just told them, if they were comfortable with, could they operate within the context of what I just explained, because I told them that basically I could operate within the parameters of the way they wanted to be coached. And I said, it's important that if you have to think about that before coming to an agreement, take some time. But once we have an agreement and we shake hands, that's the way we're going to proceed. And there was nothing more important for individuals on any teams that I coached than to follow the golden rule. And that's to treat everyone like they would like to be treated. All their teammates, their coaches, their family members, everybody they came into contact with. Because when a problem came up, like Coach Kelly was referring to, if I had laid the proper base with an individual, then I could sit down, in my case, man to man, and say, listen, something seems to be off. Let's go back to our first meeting. I'm not happy with your performance. You made a commitment that you're going to follow the golden rule and you're going to treat people the way you want it to be treated. What's going on? So the base was really important. The second part was that, especially when I was coaching in college, I made a point of having a formal meeting, one-on-one, with each one of my players every week. That could be 15 minutes, it could be an hour. It could be in my office, it could be at a restaurant. But I wanted to, you know, find out who they were, to let them know that I really cared about their growth and development off the court. And I think that gave us kind of a relationship that allowed us to meet whatever situation came along together, and to kind of avoid the negativity.
That's a great point, a great strategy. I mentioned that my freshman year at college, I think that was one of the big things was lacking, was that relationship with the head coach, the investment in their time to think that they cared about you off the court. I think that matters, especially for college players, as you're kind of going through and maturing, to have somebody kind of, you know, interested in what you want to become as you become an adult. Those are on individual levels, Coach O'Brien. From a team perspective, did you guys invest also in different team bonding activities, team building activities? What were those? And did you think those were particularly productive if you did some, Coach O'Brien?
I wasn't great at that. You know, the person that was great at that is Brett Brown, who I worked for the last 5 years. And Brett Brown always had team dinners. He started off every meeting in the video room, you know, with an upbeat viewpoint. He never let his players see him get too down over losing. We lost. These are the mistakes that we made, but we're not going to jump off a bridge. You know, let's figure out what we did as a group that we could get better at, and let's win the next game. So he was a master at it. He also did a wonderful job of staying in contact with individuals on social media. He really, and not just texting, but if he read something that he thought they would find interesting individually, he would ask them to look at it or send him a link. So he was constantly, you can't browbeat pros. You know, you just can't. But you can find out what they're interested in. You can find out, you know, what's going on in their lives, because the more you stay in contact, the more you touch their world, the more they'll open up. I think one of the big mistakes that young coaches make, they think it's good enough to just say, my door is always open. Well, of course it is, except young people won't knock on your door to come in. It'll be a rarity when somebody knocks on your door. So that's the reason that I set up individual meetings on a weekly basis, because I wasn't going to wait for them to come to me. I was going to go to them.
That's great. Coach Kelly, similar question to you with young women in an AAU program. Are there team bonding activities? How do you manage the team aspect of trying to build that chemistry?
So one of the biggest things is to have a strong culture. So not just myself, but if you have the coaches that are around you, I often call them my co-coaches versus just assistants. I want them to feel like we are a team as well. And so the players can see that example. But one thing we do, we travel a lot, which is great, is I partner up the girls. And so that's your buddy or your partner for the week. So every morning you eat breakfast with that person. So we'll have a big team, that team breakfast, but then you partner off, you eat breakfast with that person. I give you a question. It is non-sports related. So like one question could be, tell me about the time that you got in the biggest trouble of your life. And I get some great stories. I tell them this is a safe space, so I'm not going to go back and tell your parents. Mm-hmm. But what happens is, what I want to happen is this, let's say you and I are a team. I tell you my story, you tell me your story. But then at night at our team meeting, I have to tell your story. So one, it makes me connect to you and I listen to you. It also helps because I think now that I know you more, I'm going to fight and I'm going to go to war with you. So I'm just going to fight more on the court. That one rebound or that one dive on the floor that I need to get, I think I'm going to do it a little harder if I know my teammate a little better, AKA, in our case, sisterhood. So if I know my sister better than I did a week ago, it makes me play harder, makes me fight harder. So those are one of the things we do, team bonding. That happens every weekend that we're out of town. And then other things that we do is just general team, you know, those team aspects, like we do top golf and we mix the teams up. We mix the coaches in with the teams. I don't want there to be that, the separation. The kids know that I am Coach Kelly, but they know Coach Kelly loves to win more than she hates losing. So they understand that. Keep those boundaries there, but just come down to their level. I think it makes our team, from a coach's aspect and a player's aspect, a lot better, and squashes some of that negativity out as quickly as before it starts growing.
Coach Kelly, I'd like to ask you a question I had to deal with the pros, but I didn't have necessarily always control over this. And this is where one of these one-on-one meetings. So let me just give you an anecdote and I'd like to pick your brain on it. The headphones. I had a player, I think I was with Indiana at the time. We got him in the middle of the year and he had a little bit of a reputation as being, not a good teammate. So I was about 2 weeks into having him, I sat down with him. I said, listen, you have a little bit of a reputation. Did you know that about not being a good teammate? And he said, no, I didn't know that. I said, well, I think you're a great guy. And I think these guys would love you, except you're rarely around these guys other than being on a practice floor or being on a bench. That you don't have your headphones on. You come onto the bus, you don't talk to anybody, you have your headphones on. You walk into the locker room, headphones on. You sit down in your locker, headphones on. I said, nobody has a chance to really talk to you off the court. So do you ever have an issue without a control, situations like that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because headphones can be used as a great way for kids to focus. Since I play point guard, I like my point guards, they have to share their playlist with me. That way I know what they're listening to, but I also tell them, I don't want them just to have a playlist. Walk yourself through the game. So the songs that you're listening to, is that warm up? Are you walking yourself through your warm up? Then the next songs you're listening to, is that walking through, you know, getting the team going at the beginning of the game? Like, what is that playlist about? And I want it, because then I feel like I'm on the same page. I also tell them, what's your playlist at the end of a game? You know, when we're down five, like, what are you doing? Like, what song is in your head? So it's interesting that I use headphones and I like my point guards to have those playlists. But then again, it could be also, like you said, in a situation where it's negative because it's avoidance. So somehow you have to come over, like, what's the avoidance? So my first question would be, what are you listening to? I need to know what that person is listening to and try to figure out, like, why are you listening to that? Like, what is it doing for you? And let me listen to it. I might not like it, but I need to try to understand why they're doing that first.
That's very smart.
And then see, because it may be, I had one kid, she is listening to a movie. How in the world are you listening to a movie or games? So I just made the team watch that movie. So somehow try to get, instead of, you know, always trying to get that player to come over, how can we get the team to come over to them? So those, I mean, that's probably what I would do. I mean, I've, you know, like I said, not had it that as bad as you experienced, but that's probably what I would do, is like, what are you listening to? Why? And okay, let's see if we can, how do we bridge a gap? Bring the team to them.
Don, I think you would agree. One of the strongest themes as we've done these podcasts is definitely the relationships, whether it's player to coach or player to player. But I'm curious, coming off of a pandemic year, Coach Kelly, like, I mean, I know states varied and so on and so forth, but for a minute, we all had to deal with managing relationships in a physical sport through a digital way. So, I mean, in the pandemic, there's a ton of negativities associated with that experience. So how have you navigated that with your group?
So what I did was, the first thing is that each team has a strength trainer. So they did strength training. We did it over Zoom, and everyone had to be there. They all showed up. And then my co-coach, she did their ball handling and skills training. And this was at the beginning of the, and I live in Ohio. We were the first or second state to shut down. We shut down for 3 weeks. So we had a practice on a Sunday and we shut down that Monday. And so we had to figure out very quickly what to do. And so we tried to manage the ball. So I gave them I'm big on schedules because transitioning players to college, that's the thing that they struggle the most between high school and college is a schedule. So I try to give them a schedule for every day. And then in the evenings, what we would do is every other day, we had Zoom calls, and we played games. And then like sometimes we just talked. It was just, we picked something, we talked. And it's hard. It was getting hard to manage because the COVID period kept extending and it kept extending. So like I said, in Ohio, we were shut down for a long time, but you just had to manage and it became the new normal. I think once we found out it was okay to socially distance outside, then, you know, I got all the parents to get kids bikes. And you would be amazed how many kids who tell you they don't know how to ride a bike.
My cousin is 22. She can't ride a bike. I believe ride a
bike. Everyone's going to learn to ride a bike. So we were able to do some things with bike riding, again, with social distancing and bike riding, and just try to keep that part of our team going. I was very blessed again to be able to have a school that only my organization practiced in. So it was cleaned, it was scrubbed, so we probably safely practiced earlier than most organizations did. But we were able to do that, but it took some creativity, but again, just getting the kids, keeping them moving and keeping them together. And I think the players looked forward to, I got to get on Zoom at 7:30. You know, I got to get on. I got a team meeting at 8:00. You know, just trying to keep them on a schedule. So, but that's what we did to manage it.
Coach O'Brien, I know that you obviously were in still some coaching consulting capacity through the pandemic. What was your experience? I mean, that's just quite the experience for all of us.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is that when we try to bring our players together on Zoom calls, they were not as comfortable as they were when Tobias Harris did it, when he brought the team together. He was a terrific leader of our team during the pandemic. Like, he would, you know, reach out to everybody and say, we're going to get together this period of time or that period of time. And I think it's more of a, these are men that you're dealing with, and I think having a peer be the one that was running the Zoom meetings made them more comfortable.
Coach O'Brien, I mean, obviously when you were coaching in college, there's always, no matter how the season is going, you have a chance in the conference tournament to kind of reboot. Hey, we can still get to the NCAA tournament. But when you're coaching the NBA, 82 game season, if your team is not meeting its goals, wins and losses wise, you know, you're either not going to make the playoffs or it's not going to be the way you want it to be the last 3 or 4 weeks. How do you manage keeping guys positive and moving forward? And what would you recommend to some of the more youth coaches? And Coach Kelly, please follow up. Obviously, it's different when you're trying to develop players at a youth level, but in the pro level, how do you keep that group positive when they may not be attaining the goals that they wanted to attain?
So I'm going to go back to the original meetings that I had one-on-one with players. You know, we didn't discuss winning and losing, you know, one-on-one. We talked about how I was going to perform my duties, how they were going to perform the duties, what they expected of me and what I expected of them. So we manage that on a daily basis. There is nothing more important, and it's even more important than X's and O's, to manage team chemistry. So I think Monica said, if you let negativity creep in and you don't identify it, if you don't deal with it, it's very difficult to get the handle back on the team. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, you know, excellence. And at the pro level, even if we are losing, the players on the court from 1 to 12 were always auditioning for their next contract.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big money aspect that Coach Kelly is not dealing with. So, you know, what they do before the game, warming up. NBA scouts come to games a half hour early. And not only are they scouting the X's and the O's of the other opponents, they're scouting work ethic. They're scouting individuals about the way they go about their business. So every night, you know, if we're out of the playoffs, our guys cannot be reminded enough that they are auditioning. And I've made no bones about it. One of the things I tell them in that first meeting, hey, this is a business, and I want you to make as much money in your lifetime as you possibly can. And I'm willing to help you do that. Mm-hmm. But it all comes back to work ethic and how you go about your business. So that's the way I kept my team back on track.
And to piggyback off of exactly what Coach Bryant said, for me, the money aspect comes from the scholarships. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure that my team is warming up, because those college coaches are sitting there right on that court. And even, you know, a lot of college coaches, they don't so much care about the win or the loss. It's how you're playing. They want to see a good game. They want to see you compete, because can you, you know, sometimes you only get 20 minutes of that coach's time, and they're running the court 87 on the other side of the building to watch another player. Mm-hmm. So what can we do to keep those butts in the seats? And so can you, you know, we have to compete. How you warm up? Are you being a good teammate? Are you showing leadership? And just control the controllables. There are days the ball's not going to fall in, but can you run? Yes. Can you have effort? Yes. Can you grab the ball on rebounds? Yes. Can you defend? Yes. All of the things that you can control, just do those things, and wherever it falls is where it's going to fall. But you have to, you know, you're your brand. So you have to go out there every day, and you have to go out there in those games, especially those NCAA exposure events, and you got to sell your brand. And that coach may see you one time. Did you sell your brand? So you're either going to be phenomenal or you're going to be forgotten. So
let's take a little thing, if I could jump in there, Coach Kelly. You see a lot of teams that are warming up, just say in two line layups. Mm-hmm. And after you make a layup and you're coming back through the line, a lot of coaches, you know, make the players touch mm-hmm. hands as they go back. If you had one player that was not happy, that refused to touch hands coming back, there are a lot of coaches, NCAA scouts, that would ask, why are they different? Why mm-hmm. aren't they involved? As another example, when somebody shooting a foul shot makes or misses the first touch hands, and then somebody's not making the effort to touch the hand of the foul shooter. Why not? Mm-hmm. As Coach Kelly's saying, it's an audition. It's an audition not only about their skills, but about their attitudes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like coaches always pick up on those things, especially with when you're evaluating high school talent that say, do you want to come into my program? And as we've talked about building culture, you want certain characters in your program. And that definitely is a bit of a red flag. Coach O'Brien, E-Coach, for those of you that don't know, is a great resource. Hundreds of videos from NBA coaches explaining X and O's of games, but also in this piece from Coach O'Brien, building team chemistry. Let's take a look.
Jim O'Brien for NBA coaches and E-Coach. There's nothing more important about basketball. It's even more important than the fundamentals or what happens on offense or defense than building team chemistry. And there's two parts to building team chemistry. One is how a coach treats his players and how the players treat one another. Nothing more important. And we're going to talk a little bit in this segment about some key little things that you can do to make sure that relationships or those relationships grow. So one of the things I like to do when I'm coaching a basketball team, whenever they walk into the gym, or if they're in the gym when I walk in, I make sure that I greet every one of the players by saying good morning or good afternoon, looking them in the eye and calling them by name, finding out what's going on, so they know right off the bat that I am invested in what's happening to them during the day, okay? And I expect the same thing from players. I expect one time a day when they come into the gym to greet each other with a handshake or with a fist pump or however they want to do it, but calling each other's name, okay? Nothing more important than making sure you as a coach and your leaders on your team understand how important respect is for one another. I have one team rule, and that's the golden rule. You treat others the way you want to be treated. So one of the things we do every time we meet before practice or after practice is we make sure that we're all in the center circle. Let's get in the center circle, you know, around like I'm going to have a team meeting here. And we circle around and we make sure that everybody's feet is in the circle, okay? And that we're going to talk about what we're going to do at practice, and everybody has to have a piece of the other person, okay? Everybody has to be touching a guy's shoulder, okay, or however you want to do it. Make sure that everybody is included, however you want to do it, okay? These are key things. And if you do it day in and day out, from the handshakes to the touches when you're meeting as a team to calling one another by name, looking them in the eye, okay, good things happen. But you as the coach must manage the respect that everybody has. As a coach, these guys don't care how much I know until they know how much I care for them.
That's great stuff, Coach O'Brien. It's kind of a summation of a lot of what we talked about, how important team chemistry is. Earlier, you said it's more important than the X's and O's, which I think we've all just found really interesting.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun doing it. And as we've been saying, Coach Kelly, Monica, Dale, and all of us have been saying how important team chemistry is. You know, it's ironic that I coach two college teams. And usually when you get a job, you're taking over a team that has not won the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And in both instances, the first time I had the team together after meeting with them individually, I had the team together. I said, if you can do one thing as a team, if you can do one thing, we're going to be a really good basketball team. And I could see their minds spinning. Oh, what is it? Rebound? You know, do we have to work hard? I said, if you can learn to love each other, if you can have the respect of everybody and really genuinely care for each other, we're going to be terrific. And the video that we just saw is one way of building that, meeting with individuals one-on-one on a regular basis, greeting each other when you come into a building, what you do on the court from getting your feet in the circles, what you do at a foul line from touching. Just showing each other your care leads to good things.
Love that.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Kelly, I'm sure you've seen the same thing with your ladies as you're trying to communicate. But that physical, and Coach, you mentioned this off camera, we can all feel it. You can see it. Yep. You can feel it. And when it's not there, it's kind of screaming at you in the face.
Absolutely. And I've noticed more with the younger generation that I coach versus the older. After every practice, I just wore them out and they're fist bumping me. Thanks, Coach Kelly. Thanks. And I've never had that many kids do that. And just on this podcast today, I just learned something to take away from this and go back. So I'm going to make sure I thank my players for working hard that day. I usually thank them as a group, but I'm going to do more with the physical connection and reach out to them and fist bump them too for coming to work hard every day. I mean, just so we don't take that for granted, and it'll just make that team culture even stronger.
Love that.
Great stuff. Love it. This was a really good conversation. We were talking about managing through negativity, but obviously positivity is a way to overcome that. Coach O'Brien, Coach Kelly, great stuff. We really appreciate your insight. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good to be with everyone. Coach Kelly, thank you. Monica, Dylan, thank you.
Thank you. We want to thank our friends at NBA Coaches Association and eCoach for providing instructional content from their eCoach video library to give our listeners an insider's perspective on how NBA coaches teach the game. For more information and to access the library of more than 400 videos, go to ecoachbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.